Anyway, it speaks with some jelly and jam, you know, like some peanut butter and so on. But it speaks of the unity of the body of Christ. And so I think it's a very apt figure of thanksgiving. Like I said, just want to say welcome to those of you who are visiting with us this morning. And I was just telling Martin and Ella as I was thinking of them yesterday and wondering how things were going. And here they showed up in church this morning. So welcome, of course, to Martin and Ella. And of course, we celebrate the new arrival of Aiden. And good to see him here this morning. It's a good time. Good thing you got him up this morning, right? He would have slept all day. Not likely. And then we celebrate Abe and Sadie's anniversary this week, and praise the Lord for you as you celebrated your anniversary. You also know that there's been a numerous number of prayer requests that have gone through here in this past week, and it's been a full week just by virtue of the Bible classes and then just church dynamics, church life. And so let's continue to pray for one another. I just asked Ben this morning if there was any update on Erica, which was a prayer request that we put through yesterday. And apparently she's improved. And then as Helena had passed on an email about her nephew, Jonathan, we haven't met Jonathan, but nonetheless he is undergoing chemotherapy in stage 4 with cancer. And he's just a young teenager. And so let's continue to pray for the family there. And then yesterday, Margaret Ginter's mom went to be with the Lord rather suddenly, and you got that prayer request this morning. Spoke with her, and very broken and shocked by the events there. And so there's, yes, as you greeted one another, you greet one another and saying, thank you, Lord, for those who are here that I can hug and I can love and express my thanksgiving to. And so don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Say the things that you need to say today because you may not get a chance to do so tomorrow. Sobering thoughts. Let's just open a word of prayer and we'll commit our service to the Lord. Father, we thank you for the reminder in song to give thanks with grateful hearts, and then to worship you as you deserve, to be grateful for the knowledge of sins forgiven and peace with you. And so we thank you, Lord, for the greatest gift of all, even as Dustin reminded us this morning, the person of your Son, around whom we rally. He is, as it were, the tie that binds us together so that we are united. We thank you for the work that you're doing in our families, in our hearts, in our church life. Help us, Lord, to walk faithfully before you. Help us to be prayerful. Help us to be honoring you and one another in all of our conversations. We rejoice, Lord, with those who rejoice this morning, and so we rejoice with the arrival of Aiden. We rejoice with Abe and Sadie as they celebrate their anniversary, and just thank you for the way that you've undertaken for Sadie in these recent months. And then we also, Lord, join our hearts in praying for those who are anxious and who are grieving, for those who just need you to perform, as it were, a miraculous event in their lives, as we think of Jonathan and his parents just saying, Lord, not only grant the doctor's wisdom, but touch this little boy, this young boy's life. Pray for Erica as her parents are waiting to see how you're going to work out in those circumstances. And again, we just lift little Erica up to you. And then we pray for your ongoing comfort in the lives of the Ginter family, the Bickert family, as they mourn the loss of a mother, a wife. And so thank you, Lord, again, that we can stand with one another. You are the God of all comfort, the God who loves us and knows all about us. And so we commit our morning to you and just ask you to refresh us in spirit as we look into your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. On Monday, it was 23 degrees. On Tuesday, it was 24. And on Friday, we got snow. Many would say that we live in the land of the four seasons. It all happens in one day. We've certainly have had a dry summer. Crops were average. And in many areas, there was drought. And yet, we sit here and we realize that our grateful hearts is not simply stem from bumper crops and the like. Today, as every day, we should express our gratitude for all that He is and all that we are. As you look into the mirror of life, ask yourself the question, are you thankful for the way that God made you? As you look at your family, ask yourself the question, are you grateful for your brothers and sisters, for your children, for your life's mate? Samuel Butler said, let us be grateful to the mirror for revealing to us our appearance only, because we might just discover that we're not grateful at all. So what do you give thanks for? Charles Dickens said that we're somewhat mixed up here in America. He told an audience that instead of having one Thanksgiving Day each year, we should have 364 days of Thanksgiving, and then we would use that one day just for complaining and griping. He went on to say, yeah, use the other 364 days to thank God for each day for the many blessings He has showered upon us. So what are you thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for my family. All of us hopefully would be able to say that. I'm not sure about my job. Should be thankful for my job. I don't particularly like the place I'm living in, but I'll give thanks anyway. I could use a change of friends. Oh, I guess I'll thank God for my friends today. I thank the Lord for my good health, but I wish I looked better. You notice how that kind of a conditional thanksgiving really doesn't represent gratitude at all. Of course, if you're truly thankful for your job and your place to live and your friends and good health and your family, these, of course, reflect the day-to-day matters of life as related to you as an individual. These are blessings that God has showered upon you within time. They're temporal. In other words, they don't last forever. These things here are fleeting. But nonetheless, they come from the Lord. And I think it's important for us to take the time to remember them. And we should also give thanks, someone has said, for the benefits of civilization, for ordered government, for scientific improvements, education, good streets, institution of benevolence and industry and art. And we would have to say that we in North America and Western civilization enjoy those benefits far more than most societies. These are God's providential blessings. There too, we need to be thankful to the Lord. In the Old Testament, people were thankful. Think of the time when God had delivered the nation of Israel from the hand of Pharaoh, and they crossed the Red Sea. And in Exodus 15, there is that song of deliverance. The nation was exhorted to offer freewill offerings to express the joy of knowing God and to have appreciation for the facts that God has made a way for which you and I can experience forgiveness. And so the freewill offerings. Many psalms refer to thanksgiving. There are at least 150 some different references to thanksgiving in our Bibles. In the New Testament, we have familiar verses. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, and underline. Somebody want to read that? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. You can read it in German, Russian, English, French or some other language you don't know. A little louder. So in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. No. Stroke out that word everything and just put down the things I'm happy about. I can't modify the word of God. It says in everything give thanks. And then ask yourself, why is it that you aren't giving thanks in everything? Where should your focus be this Thanksgiving? Scriptures are filled with examples of those who were grateful for God's provision of wisdom, of children, God's deliverance from enemies, God's mercy, and God's love. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, with the largest number of epistles, has written much for us to consider in regards to thanksgiving. In fact, he told his young disciple, Timothy, that one of the things that would characterize the last days would be that people wouldn't be thankful. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 says, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." If ever the church needs to demonstrate gratitude, this would be the day, wouldn't it? We need to be a picture of contrast. We need to be, of all people, grateful people. Our expression of thanksgiving shouldn't simply focus on the material blessings of family, home, green grass, and fruitful harvest. Who brought that pumpkin in anyway? Who brought that thing in? It was Charles Atlas, I'm sure. Because he had to be super strong. Anybody want to try to pick this up? You brought that in? Now, I want to tell you, underneath that shirt, there is muscle. I'm telling you, that thing is humongous. I saw another one that it must have taken a giant to bring in over there at Lion's Manor. Nat and I were working there the other day, and there was a great big pumpkin. My wife says, pumpkin. I see your lips, at the glance of my eyes, don't say it like that. Pumpkin, how many years have I been trying to teach you to say this thing? Anyway, pumpkins. We need to see beyond the temporal, the good job, our family, our homes, our human relationships. We need to be able to see the grace of God and the love of God. And the Apostle Paul goes to great lengths in his first chapter to the book of Ephesians. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and we'll read the passage. And so as you're reading this passage, I want you to notice that all that we have comes from the Father and from the Son and from the Holy Spirit. And there are references in each of these verses to the things that the Father has done, the Son has done, and the Spirit of God has done. And all of this that we've received has been with one purpose in mind, is that your life and my life should bring glory to God. You know, when life is a mess, when you're not feeling well, circumstances in your life are tough, your friendships aren't what they're supposed to be, your job is something that you hate, and you're having struggles in all kinds of different relationships, and you're seeing death and sickness all around you, you sort of want to get off of the planet. You wish something could change. In fact, you wish that everything could change. The Apostle Paul lived in that world too. But he's trying to help us understand that in getting perspective, there's much that we have that we need to be grateful for. Reading from verse 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus." I would say that if he was addressing that to us, he'd say to the saints who are in Winkler at Faith Evangelical Bible Church and to the faithful ones in Christ Jesus. You want to be faithful. I trust that you do. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When's the last time that you actually greeted somebody with that idea, grace and peace to you? I want grace, God's grace, and God's peace to be poured out on your life. Why? Because I've received it. Why? Because I'm grateful for what I received and I would want you to receive it. Because as I receive God's grace and God's peace, I know that there's a transformation that's taking place in my life. I view people differently. I live life differently. I think life differently. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Isn't that something? That all that you have, that you've been blessed with, I'm telling you, comes from God, and that we should give thanks to God who has given us all these spiritual blessings. Now think about some of the spiritual blessings that you have. By the way, all the things that you have materially and relationally in this life are still part of God's spiritual blessings. Realize that. But to actually have a God to whom you can talk with, talk to about the things that are on your heart, the love that you have, concerns that are there, the burdens that you carry for the lost, the burdens that you carry for the hurting, the sick, those who are weeping. To be able to say to God, Lord, I'm excited today. I'm excited because I got a wonderful family. I'm excited for the opportunity to work for godly people. I'm excited about the opportunity to be able to live my life before the unbelieving. I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be one of your ambassadors. Because it's a blessing to be an ambassador with a message of reconciliation in our world. It says in verse 4 that just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Oh, to be accepted in the beloved. The beloved here, of course, is the person of the Lord Jesus. To know that Jesus accepts every human being, that you need to be grateful for. Because all of us are different. All of us are unique. All of us have imperfections. All of us have limitations. Some of our limitations are related to physical. Some of our limitations are related to the emotional because we've been hurt. But God accepts us. Now, some of us have greater drive, greater desire, and all the rest, but be thankful for that because God is expecting you to do just that much more. He wants to use you. So, oh, I don't have time for that. I've got a pedicure. I've got to get my eyelashes trimmed, or sorry if I'm sounding a little frivolous, but I haven't had any of that stuff done, so sorry, ladies, not stepping on your toes. Yeah, those things aren't bad. Pardon the pun. Look at verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in a dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Wow. I've asked the question, whether it be in a Bible class or a small group or right here on a Sunday morning, have you ever felt so bad about a sin that you just knew that you needed to appeal to the mercy and the grace of God? You ever understood that You know, at a time in your life that when that sin just jeopardized everything, and yet you could turn to God and to experience forgiveness of sins. For each and every one of us who have placed our trust in Christ, there had to be a moment when we understood that what came with the knowledge that we would have eternal life came the knowledge of sins forgiven and peace with God. Yes, undoubtedly, sin brings shame and disappointment. But in Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sin brings healing and restoration. A sunrise in every day. An opportunity to live your life afresh, new. Every day with Jesus is a new day. Every day with the Lord Jesus is a day of new opportunities. Every day with Jesus is a day to experience His grace, His mercy, and His love. Verse 11, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory, again, to His glory. Verse 13, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. In Him, all to the praise and the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you. Are you here to give thanks to God for the body of Christ? For every brother and sister? There's lots of us here. And all of us are at different places in our understanding, in our progress. I certainly realize that I'm still just sort of like a babe in Christ. So much to learn about living. So much more to learn about loving. So much more to learn. But I have a great example in the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul says, having appreciated these things, he says he doesn't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And so as you and I become more grateful towards one another, we begin to pray for one another that much more fervently. Fervently means with a great desire to only want God's best in another's life. The beauty and the unity of that loaf is that loaf is held together by each fiber in that loaf. The beauty of the unity of this group of believers is that each of us is kept united by the determination of each one here to guard the interest of the other believer, each family. Verse 17, not only keeps us in His prayers, not only are we to keep each other in one another's prayer, but that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, that you might come to understand and know God in deeper ways, so that it will affect the way that you think, the way that you look at people, and the way that you look at life, that you would look at life through the lens of Scripture, through the Spirit of God, that you would see people the way God sees people, that you would be merciful as God is merciful, that you'd be forgiving as God is forgiving, and that you would seek to restore as God seeks to restore. That you would be joyful as God is joyful. That you would rejoice as God rejoices in seeing people come to Christ. He says, verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in his saints. Riches of the glory and the inheritance of the saints is going to be revealed at the judgment seat of Christ in eternity. We're going to see those who served faithfully, who were willing to endure, who suffered injustice, but who overcame. They're going to be the valiant ones. Those who looked out in mercy and sought to advocate for the poor, the weak, the sick. The injustices. God says, as we live out our lives in such a way, the glory of his inheritance will be revealed because those people that we advocate for will come to know the Lord. And they'll rejoice and they'll produce fruit in their lives. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Oh, to be seated at the right hand as God works out his power through your life. Because there too, he wants to reward you for being faithful. That will be on display. And this, of course, is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And so the name of Jesus will be lifted up, but also the Lord Jesus will lift your name and give you a new name. We'll read about that in the book of Revelation. And so this same one who died for us and who is raised, who gives us life to our mortal bodies, the one who enables us to live our lives in gratitude, he's put all things under his feet, verse 22. And God the Father has given him to be the head over all things, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. To the glory of God. That's the church. Beautiful chapter. I sent you an email this morning with this little poem based upon Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks in all things. For all the gifts that thou dost send, for every kind and loyal friend, for prompt supply of all my need, for all that is good in word or deed. For gift of health along the way, for strength to work from day to day, I give thee humble thanks. For ready hands to help and cheer, for listening ears thy voice to hear, for yielded tongue thy love to talk, for willing feet thy paths to walk, for open eyes thy word to read, for loving heart thy will to heed, I give thee humble thanks. For Christ who came from heaven above, for the cross and his redeeming love, for his mighty power to seek and save, for his glorious triumph o'er the grave, for the lovely mansions in the sky, for his blessed coming by and by, I give thee humble thanks. Someone has said that thanksgiving has the power to transform us into different people. We'll not only be different from the people around us, but we'll also be different from the way that we used to be. We will be transformed. We'll be transformed in our thinking and in our temperament. And as we seek to cultivate this attitude of gratitude, our thinking will be transformed. The way of the world is to concentrate on the negative, but the way of Christ is to emphasize the positive. We are to look for the good in everything. And so Philippians 4, verse 8 tells us, finally, brethren, whatever things are pure, true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue in that, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And so if you haven't got that verse underlined in your Bible, verses 8 and 9 of Philippians chapter 4, today'd be a good day. Good day to underline it. Good day to memorize it. Good day to live it. While we have breath, the Lord wants us to focus on those things. These are the things which are in keeping with God's character. These are the things for which we need to be grateful. The fact that God is true. The fact that God is noble. The fact that God is just and God is pure. God is lovely and God is good. In a future day, when we meet the Lord, we'll witness the gratitude of believers of all time. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 17. We have a beautiful scene. I believe the scene is representative. I do believe that the scene will take place, but I believe that it represents believers who have suffered for God and for Christ throughout time. Beginning at verse 9, Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And so he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple, in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them, and they shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Representative of all those believers who through time were willing to give their lives for the sake of the gospel. And so our future, in light of our prayer requests this week, overwhelmed with the reality of sickness, sudden sickness in the case of Erica, sudden death in the case of the Ginter family, Bickert family. All around us, the world is quaking in fear and despair with no hope. But we as a family, we as the body of Christ, we can rejoice. We have the knowledge of sins forgiven. We know who holds the future. We know who has granted us peace with God. And we know whom we have believed. And one day we'll see him face to face. And so our future will no longer be filled with the consequences and limitations of this sin-torn world. But the question still remains, what are you thankful for? What are you saying thank you to God for today? You greeted each other, and you said, "I thank you for the Lord. I thank you for who you are in Christ Jesus." Or, "I thank the Lord for you." Look in the mirror. Thank God for who you are. Thank God that he never gives up, that he's still at work, that through all the trials and struggles of life, he's still shaping your life. He's bringing people into your life to remind you of the grace and the love of God, that there are brothers and sisters, family members who love you, forgive you, patient with you, that you have friends who laugh with you, who make fun of you at times. You can give thanks for that too. But thank God for who he is and what he's done for you. Shall we pray? Father, we bow our heads this morning, and hopefully like every day, to give you thanks. To thank you, yes, for our families. To thank you for the trials of life that are there to shape us. To help us realize how much we need you. To help us to cry out to you and ask you for wisdom and insight. for the strength to be loving and merciful and forgiving. To recognize, Lord, that we're to be joyful in the knowledge of sins forgiven. To rejoice that we're at peace with the Creator of the universe. Yes, Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, who demonstrated and walked on this earth to show us how to live, whose words you preserved in your word so that we could read them and allow them to be a guide to our path so we would know how to respond to the challenges that come our way, whether it be in our own lives or the lives of others, our families, our friends, so that we would respond the way you do, in mercy and grace. And so we pray that you'll continue to use your church so that your church would be those ambassadors who bring forth a positive message, message of forgiveness and grace, a message of reconciliation between God and man. And so help us to love. Help us to walk the way you walked. Help us to be willing to suffer as you suffered, and to even die as you died, forgiving those who persecute us, and then to be risen as you have been risen in power, so that one day we'll see you face to face, anticipating, Lord willing, well done, good and faithful servant. Father, we pray for those who couldn't be with us this morning. We're reminded, Lord, of those who have gone back to Germany as well and who are serving you there. We're reminded, Lord, of those folks that we support and who are serving you in other countries. We pray that this day would be a great Thanksgiving day. Bless our fellowship together around the table this afternoon. Help us to look at the faces around the table and thank you for them, and that our conversation would be sweet. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.